Welcome to The Debate. If you're listening to this on a smartphone or, a laptop right now, I actually want you to start with a quick thought experiment. Picture that empty white search box that you interact with, a dozen times a day.
Oh, easily a dozen.
Right. You type in a prompt, and in a few seconds, a perfectly synthesized answer just appears. Or maybe you ask for a photorealistic image and it just materializes. It feels like reaching into the ether, a literal magic trick. Clean, weightless, and instantaneous. A ghost in the machine.
Yeah, and we even use language that reinforces that magic trick, right? We call it the cloud. It sounds like something that just floats above us, leaving no footprint, casting no shadow. It's a very comfortable illusion. I mean, we all kind of buy into it.
It is comforting. But if you trace that magic trick back to its source, the ghost disappears entirely. You don't find ether. You find open-pit copper mines. You find spinning turbines pulling millions of gallons of fresh water from local aquifers just to keep servers from melting down.
Yep.
You find massive warehouse-sized data centers burning through the electrical grid. The illusion of immateriality is, well, it's breaking.
Because the academic term for it is a hidden metabolism. Just like a living organism consumes resources and produces waste to survive, artificial intelligence has a physical body that breathes in water and power and, breathes out heat, carbon, and e-waste.
Exactly. And we are pulling this reality straight from Dr. Bechara Saheli's June 2026 academic white paper, The Hidden Life Ground of Artificial Intelligence, alongside the massive data drops from the recent UNUI INWE report. The paper completely strips away this illusion of AI as an immaterial digital service.
And it forces a pretty critical choice about how we govern this technology moving forward.
Right. Today, we're looking at two very different paths. The central question is this: do we aggressively restrict everyday AI use by enforcing strict sufficiency rules to basically cap user demand? Or do we focus entirely on the supply side, holding the infrastructure accountable and building public interest compute?
It's a profound fork in the road for how society manages technology.
It is. And I take the position that we have to enforce a principle of sufficiency. We need to actively curb user demand and restrict the scale of AI outputs to prevent total ecological exhaustion.
And well, I take the position that focusing on the user's prompt is a subjective trap. We really shouldn't be policing what people ask for. We should be restructuring the political economy of AI through rigorous local accountability and community-owned compute.
Okay, to understand why demand is the core issue here, we really have to look at the scale of that hidden metabolism. It is a continuous, unbroken chain linking your keyboard to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The UNUIWE report maps this out with some pretty sobering data. By the end of 2025, global data centers consumed 448 terawatt hours of electricity.
Which is just staggering.
Right. To put that into perspective, that is more electricity than the entire country of France uses in a whole year. And it's projected to hit 945 terawatt hours by 2030. AI workloads are jumping from 20% to 40% of that total.
And, it's not just the electricity. It's the water cooling, the land cleared for these facilities, the rare earth minerals extracted for the chips. The footprint is massive.
Exactly. But we have to ask why it's so massive. It really comes down to what engineers call inference. We hear a lot about the massive energy it takes to train a frontier AI model, but training is a one-time event. Inference is the everyday continuous use by billions of people.
Right, the deployment.
Yeah. Inference actually accounts for 80 to 90% of AI's total energy consumption over its life cycle. It's the daily querying.
So basically, every single time someone hits enter on a prompt, the meter is running.
Right. And if we rely purely on engineering more efficient chips to solve this, we trigger the Jevons paradox.
Ah, the highway widening effect.
Precisely. It's like adding lanes to a congested highway to reduce traffic. The wider highway just encourages more people to drive, so traffic actually gets worse.
Sure.
If we make AI processing cheaper and more energy efficient, we won't end up using less power overall. We'll just embed AI in every single application, document, and workflow on the planet. The total energy draw will skyrocket. That is why efficiency is an illusion without sufficiency. We have to actively limit AI usage to justified, life-expanding tasks. Otherwise, AI just becomes an ecological idol, a system that demands continuous physical sacrifice from our planet just to sustain its growth.
Look, the diagnosis of a dire carbon, water, and land footprint is entirely correct. Nobody is disputing the sheer volume of resources being consumed here, but targeting the end user and their demand, I think, misdiagnoses the structural problem. If you focus on curbing the user, you are letting the true culprits off the hook.
How so? I mean, the user is the one generating the inference.
Because the real governance failure isn't, you know, a student asking an AI for a long-form text summary or an artist generating an image. The failure is the political economy of how these systems are deployed in the first place.
Think about the concept of enclosure.
Like the historical land enclosures? Exactly. Historically, enclosure was when wealthy landowners fenced off public communal land for their own private profit, basically locking out the common people. Today, we are seeing the enclosure of compute. The benefits of AI, the massive financial profits and technological supremacy, they accrue to distant platform companies.
Right.
But the local costs, the grid strain, the drained municipal water tables, the toxic e-waste, those fall directly on local communities hosting the data centers. We are creating digital sacrifice zones.
But come on, those sacrifice zones exist specifically to service this skyrocketing user demand.
No, they exist to service a corporate monopoly on infrastructure. The solution is not policing user prompts to see if they are sufficiently valuable to the planet. That is a distraction. The solution is enforcing rigorous lifecycle responsibility on the corporations.
Okay, but
if a company builds a data center, they must obtain community consent. They must prove it won't deplete the local aquifer. We need to break the enclosure and build what is called an AI commons, you know, regionally owned, public interest infrastructure where the community directly governs the physical deployment.
I hear you, but that distant infrastructure problem actually starts right in our living rooms. It starts the exact moment a user decides what kind of prompt to type. Let's look at the modality gradient of symbolic demand. Not all AI outputs carry the same physical cost. The mechanics really matter here.
Right.
Lightweight classification, like your email provider filtering out spam, takes vastly less energy than generating a paragraph of text. Generating text takes less than synthesizing a photorealistic image, and generating a 4K video is astronomically more resource-intensive than all of them combined.
Right. It's like sorting a deck of cards versus painting a masterpiece from scratch. The computational effort scales up dramatically.
Exactly. But platforms are structurally driving what we call symbolic escalation. They are normalizing the absolute most resource-intensive outputs for the most trivial tasks. For example, defaulting to a massive generative AI model just to give you a summary for a basic navigational web search.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Right. If you were just trying to find the hours of a local hardware store, and the search engine fires up a generative model to write you a custom paragraph about hardware stores, I mean, that is like using an industrial diesel engine to power a bicycle down your driveway.
Yeah, it's overkill.
It's massive, invisible, metabolic overkill. That is why we need a principle of minimum sufficient symbolic form. We need rules that say, if classification is enough, do not generate text. If text is enough, do not generate an image. We have to cap the modality.
I come at it from a different way. I can't imagine a workable world where that happens. Trying to enforce a minimum sufficient symbolic form is a completely unworkable governance strategy. Who exactly is going to be the arbiter of what constitutes real life value? The concept of value is inherently subjective.
It's not about judging the human, though. It's about judging the proportionality of the tool.
But you can't separate the two. What you might consider a totally frivolous, energy-wasting image generation might be a crucial accessibility tool for someone who is neurodivergent. It might be a vital educational visualization for a teacher with no budget. You want to referee the outputs, but the output isn't the root issue.
If the continuous energy draw of generating that output is burning the grid, how is it not the root issue?
Because the demand isn't an organic reflection of human desire. Look at what you just said about search engines. The demand is produced by corporate automation strategies. Google and Microsoft didn't bolt generative AI onto their search engines because billions of users were marching in the streets demanding it.
Well, no.
They did it because of institutional imitation and the fear of losing market share. They forced the diesel engine onto the bicycle. Why should we punish the user with sufficiency quotas when the user didn't even ask for the default? We should govern the data center's impact on the local grid. If a data center runs on 100% renewable energy and uses a closed-loop water cooling system that doesn't evaporate the local watershed, why on earth should we care if someone generates a synthetic video instead of reading a text summary?
Look, I see why you think an isolated, perfectly green data center solves this. But let me give you a reality check. Even on a hypothetical, perfectly green grid, there are strict physical limits. A solar farm still takes up thousands of acres of land.
Sure.
That is land that could be wild habitat or agriculture. The processors still require rare earth metals that are aggressively mined, leaving toxic legacies in the global south. When we escalate the modality, when platforms seamlessly nudge us from text to video, we are expanding the total material footprint of human activity, period.
But place-based accountability manages that footprint.
Only locally. The diesel engine on a bicycle analogy holds precisely because inference happens billions of times a day. If we don't actively police the modality of what we are asking the machines to do, the physical infrastructure will continuously expand to meet this artificially induced demand. We cannot build our way out of this with greener cooling towers.
I still think you're looking at the wrong end of the pipeline. By hyper-focusing on the user's prompt or the specific modality of the output, you give the infrastructure providers a pass. The burden of governance belongs on the physical deployment, not the digital request.
I disagree.
If a company wants to build an AI facility, they have to prove to the municipality that it won't compete with the community's drinking water during a drought. That is objective. The physical limit is the governance. If they meet the physical limit, the symbolic output is completely irrelevant to the ecology.
But supply-side accountability isn't enough because of the underlying economics of how AI models are built in the first place. Let's look at the training data. GPT-3 took an estimated 1.3 gigawatt hours to train. GPT-4 took somewhere between 50 to 70 gigawatt hours.
Massive jump.
A massive jump. The supply-side argument says, don't worry, we'll design more efficient silicon, we'll make the hardware better. But again, the Jevons paradox guarantees that cheaper, more efficient hardware just means more ubiquitous AI. Without a doctrine of sufficiency, we shift from treating AI as a tool into treating it as an oracle.
Wait, what is the distinction there?
A tool is bounded. It is task appropriate. You pick up a hammer to drive a nail, and then you put it down. An oracle is unbounded. We start deferring to machine outputs for everything, from writing basic emails to making complex societal decisions. And to feed the oracle, we justify massive, endless infrastructure buildouts. We effectively sacrifice our physical life ground to appease a digital system because we've decided we can no longer function without its constant input.
Okay, that's a very dystopian framing. But have you considered that not all high-intensity computation is an idol or an oracle? You're framing massive compute as though it's always just scaling up trivialities, like, you know, generating a million synthetic advertising videos. But what about climate risk modeling? What about high-resolution satellite monitoring to predict flooding in vulnerable areas?
Those are absolutely vital. I agree.
Right. And they are intensely demanding computational tasks. They require massive frontier-level AI models to process millions of variables in real time. They are resource-heavy, but they are absolutely necessary for survival in a changing climate. Efficiency, paired with place-based accountability, is the only objective way to govern this.
But if a compute facility operates within a community's consent and physical limits, the scale of computation shouldn't be artificially capped by a vague standard of sufficiency. If you mandate minimum sufficient form across the board, you might inadvertently restrict the exact life-saving scientific research we need.
That's a fair pushback. But I would frame the market reality differently. The framework doesn't deny that climate modeling is life-serving. The problem is that the current market does not differentiate between a climate model and a synthetic influencer. To a data center, a gigawatt is a gigawatt.
Sure.
If you don't impose a sufficiency standard on the demand side,
the incredibly profitable Trivial Excess will always crowd out the life-serving tools.
Because the advertising videos pay better than the climate research.
Them demands continuous scaling to justify the billions of dollars of capital investment. Capital flows into AI expecting infinite growth, more users, more ambient automation, more compute. The only way to break that cycle is a cultural and regulatory consensus that some digital outputs simply aren't worth draining a lake for.
Look, I agree that the private market doesn't differentiate between the profound and the profane, which is exactly why I'm arguing against leaving AI as a privatized enclosure. Let's ground this theoretical debate in concrete geography. Let's look at small island developing states, or SIDS, which the source material specifically highlights.
SIDS are a perfect stress test for these models.
They are. Small islands face incredibly fragile electrical grids, severe freshwater stress, and very limited land. Yet they are entirely dependent on external tech platforms for their digital infrastructure. It's what we call the AI dependency trap.
Right.
These islands bear the externalized physical costs of climate change, which the emissions from massive AI data centers contribute to, while being entirely locked out of the compute sovereignty they need to actually adapt.
They get all the downstream consequences and none of the direct benefits.
Exactly. This proves why we need something like a Caribbean AI Commons. We need shared, regional, public interest compute that is owned and operated by the communities themselves. Refusing AI on the grounds of your sufficiency doctrine leaves these vulnerable regions without the high compute tools they desperately need for disaster resilience, epidemiology, and water governance.
I completely acknowledge the necessity of resilience for small island nations, but I'm just not convinced that a commons somehow bypasses the laws of physics. It skips over the immediate material constraints of those exact islands. The argument for sufficiency actually states that SIDS must adopt AI selectively and actively avoid AI by default procurement.
Well, because they don't have the runway to waste resources.
Right. So let me ask you a pointed question. How can a small island with seasonal droughts, severely limited freshwater, and a fragile grid that still relies on diesel generators ever safely host a public AI commons without first establishing an absolute ceiling on allowable compute capacity?
Well,
SIDS perfectly demonstrate why physical limits must be respected. The capacity for withdrawal, the ability to just say no to compute, must be a core governance tool. If a Caribbean AI commons just imports the exact same high-intensity modalities that big tech uses, ambient automation, constant generative video, it will crash their local ecology. It doesn't matter if that compute is publicly owned or privately owned. A drained aquifer is a drained aquifer.
But the commons isn't about replicating a hyperscale Silicon Valley data center in the middle of a vulnerable island. It's about regional cooperation and place-based design. A Caribbean AI commons would be explicitly designed around water-sensitive infrastructure, perhaps utilizing ocean water cooling and powered by regional solar or geothermal grids.
But the energy draw is still massive.
It is. But the governance mechanism is democratic oversight, not an arbitrary modality cap. If the local community owns the compute, they govern its life cycle. They enforce the extended producer responsibility for the toxic e-waste. They ensure the benefits, like hurricane forecasting or fisheries protection, stay local, rather than the profits leaking to a distant platform while the local grid burns fossil fuels to cool the servers.
Okay.
When those who bear the burden actually share in the decisions, they regulate themselves. You don't achieve that by just telling people to use smaller models. You achieve that by restructuring the ownership of the machine.
I appreciate the vision of a democratized machine. I really do. But restructuring ownership doesn't change the thermodynamics of the hardware. The Life Coherent AI Use Protocol asks a very fundamental first question. Is AI genuinely needed for this task? It demands we use the smallest adequate model.
Right.
If a local government in a small island state uses a massive generative model just to draft basic administrative emails, they are still consuming precious local water and energy for a task that could easily be done with a simple rules-based software, or frankly, just human effort. Public interest compute is a beautiful concept, but without the strict discipline of sufficiency, a public commons will drain the local aquifer just as fast as a private enclosure.
I think you're vastly underestimating the capacity of communities to self-govern their resources when they actually have skin in the game. When AI is an enclosure,
the data center is a black box. The community has no idea how much water it's pulling on a Tuesday. But in a commons framework, transparency is built in.
Sure. Transparency helps.
It's vital. If a community sees that a public compute facility is drawing dangerously high levels of water during a dry season, they can throttle the compute. They can collectively decide to prioritize the climate models and temporarily pause the administrative automation. That is lifecycle responsibility in action. It doesn't require a universal philosophical rule about symbolic form dictated from above. It requires local democratic power over the physical infrastructure.
But don't you see? Throttling the compute to save water during a drought is the application of sufficiency. You are just arriving at it through emergency crisis management rather than proactive design. My point is that we must design the digital system from the ground up so that it defaults to the lowest necessary impact rather than waiting for the municipal reservoir to run low before we decide to turn off the video generators.
Fair enough. The outcome might look similar in a crisis, but the mechanism of how we get there matters deeply. I trust a community making a democratic, transparent choice about its own physical resources over an abstract protocol dictating what is or isn't a justified use of intelligence.
Well, let's look at where this leaves us. My stance remains that true intelligence must be subordinated to the preservation of life. AI governance has to be rooted in strict sufficiency, proportionality, and the principle of minimum sufficient symbolic form. We just cannot rely purely on hardware efficiency or even alternative ownership models. We have to fundamentally refuse to sacrifice our physical ecosystems to fuel symbolic digital excess.
And, you know, I maintain that we have to fight the enclosure of AI by establishing place-based accountability, rigorous hardware lifecycle responsibilities, and public interest compute. We need to govern the physical impact directly at the source and empower local communities to manage their own resources, rather than trying to subjectively police the prompts and modalities that end users request.
But despite our different approaches to how we govern the system, it is clear we converge on the absolute central reality. AI is fundamentally material. It carries massive carbon, water, and land footprints. The era of treating digital outputs as a weightless, frictionless ghost is definitively over.
Absolutely. We agree that the hidden metabolism of AI is no longer hidden. It is a planetary infrastructure issue. From the lithium and copper mined for the servers to the mountains of e-waste left behind, AI has a physical, heavy body from beginning to end.
It is a profound shift in how we view our tools. We are moving from asking, how far can AI scale, to asking, does this scale of intelligence actually serve life? For everyone listening, there is much more to explore in Dr. Sahaly's work, specifically the 10-step life-coherent AI use protocol, which offers a fascinating framework for how institutions and individuals can navigate these exact choices. We leave it to you to decide which governance approach offers the most viable path forward. But the next time you type a prompt into that empty white box, remember, there is no magic trick. There is no ether. There is only the massive physical engine and the living world that fuels it.